Good to see you tonight. I saw an interesting sight tonight. I saw my brother Gibby walking back there. And good to see that. And that's an answer to prayer. You know, and I'm sure Gibby will acknowledge that. And let's keep praying for Gibby. You know, let's don't forget him. And I know the Lord's brought him a long way. And we'll see what he can do in the future. See how fast he can run through the parking lot. Or maybe not. I don't know. But anyway, we're continuing our study in 2 Peter. If you'll study, turn to 2 Peter chapter 2. Tonight, we're going to consider verses 10 through 14 tonight. This past Sunday morning, we covered verses 1 through 9 of chapter 2. And chapter 2, I believe, is in 2 Peter, is an extremely important chapter in the Word of God. Because in this chapter, God, the Holy Spirit, warns us and instructs us on false teachers. And we talked about this this past Sunday morning in the first 9 verses, and we saw that the wrath and judgment of God is going to be on these false teachers who teach unbiblical things, who twist the Scriptures. And we see that Peter used 3 examples in the Old Testament this past Sunday morning to illustrate the wrath and judgment of God. That was the angels who have sinned, that God has imprisoned them for future judgment. The second illustration of God's judgment was the flood in Genesis, and also Sodom and Gomorrah in Genesis. We looked at that this past Sunday morning. And tonight we're going to continue where we left off in verse 10 and go through verse 14. We're going to start reading at verse 9 for the sake of context. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the angels who have sinned, that God has imprisoned them for future judgment. The second illustration of God's judgment was the flood in Genesis, and also Sodom and Gomorrah in Genesis. We looked at that this past Sunday morning. And tonight we're going to continue where we left off in verse 10 and go through verse 14. We're going to start reading at verse 9 for the sake of context. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness, and despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord. But these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are, and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls. A heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children. And we'll stop right there. You know, Peter uses a pretty strong language to describe these false teachers. And starting in verse 10, he lists 5 characteristics of these false teachers in verse 10. Number one, they walk after the flesh. Secondly, they despise government. Number 3, they are presumptuous. Number 4, they're self-willed. And number 5, they speak evil of dignitaries. And we're going to take these one by one and go through them and find out what Peter is talking about here. One of the characteristics of the false teachers are they walk after the flesh. In other words, they have no restraint on their lustful, sinful appetites. And of course, you have to understand that these false teachers are devoid of the Spirit of God. They don't have the Holy Spirit of God indwelling them. They use a religious facade to trick, to deceive other people. And they live their lives walking after the flesh. The second characteristic of these false teachers is they despise government. In other words, they hate authority. Authority might restrain their wicked activities, so that's something that they hate. They don't want restraints on their activities. And they certainly reject the Lord Jesus Christ and His rule over them. It reminds us of that parable in the gospel that our Savior told, in which He used the people, we would not have this man reign over us. The people who reject the Lord Jesus Christ don't want His rule. They don't want His authority. They reject Him and His authority over them. These false teachers are like that. When they teach unbiblical things and things that are not true from the Scriptures, they twist the Word of God. They're going to hate authority. The third thing that Peter mentions in verse 10 is that they are presumptuous. They teach their lies openly without any concern about what is right or what is wrong. In Exodus chapter, we'll get to that in a minute. I almost misquoted myself there. But when we say that the false teachers are presumptuous, that means that they don't care what people think. They will open up with their lies. They will repeat those lies publicly for other people, thinking that they can deceive people who don't have any spiritual knowledge or understanding, especially spiritual knowledge and understanding of the Scriptures, the Word of God. And fourthly, they are, as Peter said, they are self-willed. In Exodus 22, it says, "You shall not revile God nor curse a ruler of your people." You know, self-willed people think they can criticize anyone, they can ridicule anything, and they think that's good, and they can get away with it. The false teachers are self-willed in that the one that they care about is not other people. They don't care about individuals. They care about themselves. They care about what they want. They care about their desires. If people get hurt or deceived or misled in the process, they could care less. So we have to understand these characteristics of false teachers. And you know, the Spirit of God, I think, here is warning us, warning you me as far as being God's people are concerned, that this is a concern for God, and it should be a concern for us, the false teachers. The fifth thing that Peter mentions in verse 10 is they speak evil of dignitaries. That word dignitaries literally means glorious ones. It can mean a reference to angels, or it could be mean a reference to people in authority. In this context in which Peter is talking about, it means human rulers here in verse 10. False teachers love to shock people by their harsh criticism of people in authority. And they go to any lengths to criticize people in authority because the false teachers consider people in authority to be a threat to them and to their false doctrines and teachings. They think that people in authority may restrain them, that put restraints on them to shut them down or shut them up, and they don't want that. They want the false teachers want the freedom to put forth their false teachings as publicly and as many times as they possibly can. And you know, we as Christians, we as the people of God, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, we're taught to obey the rulers that have rule over us. You know, we're taught from the Word of God in a number of places in the New Testament that the Apostle Paul warns us and reminds us that the government authorities are to be obeyed by the people of God. But the false teachers will have none of that. You know, if they want to get their false doctrines and false teachings across, they're going to have to be, in many ways, unrestrained. And they don't want authority over them. And I don't know if you've noticed, I've noticed over the years that some of the people, these preachers who come on TV, who preach various doctrines that are certainly not biblical by any stretch of the imagination. They use their pulpits to get money. And when the Internal Revenue Service or the government investigates them, they consider that an attack from Satan. It's amazing. So we have to be very careful. We have to understand the characteristics of these false teachers so we can identify them and be aware of them, and so we can warn other people. As I mentioned Sunday morning, you and I, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have a duty and a responsibility not only to defend the Word of God, but to refute those who attack it. And these false teachers will do that. And they will do it openly. They will do it brazenly. So we must be aware of that. In verse 11, Peter continues on. He says, "Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusations against them before the Lord." In verse 11, Peter is referring to angelic beings here. He mentions the angels of God, which are created by God, which are extremely powerful beings. And Peter is saying in verse 11, even the angels of God will never bring a slanderous accusation against the false teachers. They would never do that. But on the other hand, in contrast to that, the false teachers think nothing of telling lies, of slandering authority. And you know, we have to. I want to pause here. Let's understand who we are dealing with here. You know, these false teachers are you know, they're not your friendly agree to disagree and let's go out to lunch and have something to eat type of people. You know, that's not what we're talking about here. These people are dangerous to the body of Christ. They pose a real danger. And you know, we talked about that this past Sunday morning. You know, the unsaved, non-Christian world. Why do you people, why do you Christians think, false teacher, why is that so important to adhere to the Scriptures, to the Bible? Well, we find the Word of God to be authoritative. We recognize and submit and yield to the authority of the Word of God in our lives because God's Word is true. And I also mentioned the fact, one of the reasons that we find false teachings of false teachers, that we take them so seriously, is the fact that people's souls are at stake. The destiny of men and women and boys and girls is something that's important. It's something that we and God considers extremely important. You know, when we talk about people's eternal destiny, we're talking about where they're going to spend eternity. The false teachers, they're on their way to a lost eternity into hell. And we'll see that in this chapter. And Satan is using these false teachers. They're religious phonies. They're fakes. They're imposters. They're liars. And they're tools of Satan. Satan is literally, not figuratively, he is literally using these false teachers to deceive and to lead people into hell. You know, I can't say it any more plainly than that. That's why these false teachers, we as believers in Christ, we consider this an important thing. Because when they attack the Word of God, we just can't brush it off, brother, sister in Christ. We can't say, well, that's the way things are, you know. You know, if we have an opportunity to denounce these false teachers, to refute them, then we should do it, publicly or privately. Because, as I said before, the eternal destiny of people's souls is at stake. That's why it's important for us to understand the characteristics of the false teachers. Well, he continues on in verse 12. He describes the false teachers as, "But these as natural brute beasts made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption." They are natural brute beasts. They're unreasoning animals. they're unreasoning animals that need to be captured and destroyed. Good illustration is, you know, every spring we get reports of a fox or a raccoon or a dog having rabies and attacking people. And the animal control people have to go out and catch the animal, and the poor animal is so far gone, it can't be brought back to health, to normal health. So it has to be destroyed. You know, that's what you have to do with a rabid animal that can't be cured, can't be healed. These false teachers are like that. These false teachers are like unreasoning animals. God will capture them someday, and He will destroy them. You and I won't do that, but we can rest assured that the judge of men's souls, the Lord Jesus Christ, will. He will capture the false teachers, and He will destroy them. One of the other characteristics of people that Peter mentions in verse 12 is they speak evil of the thing they understand not. The false religious teachers, they love to criticize the Bible. They want to demean God. They speak of things in the Scriptures they know nothing about. Have you ever seen someone or a radio broadcast or a TV broadcast of a preacher in a pulpit or a teacher on a particular program, and you listen to what they say, and after a while you say, you know, that guy doesn't even know what he's talking about. You ever thought about that? I've heard that before. I've heard some things that are some outrageous, incredible things that people take from the Scriptures, and they twist it, and it turns out to be such a big lie. And I'm thinking to myself, these people, they don't know. This guy, he's talking about something. He doesn't have anything. He doesn't have any idea of what he's talking about. They have no understanding of the Scriptures, but they love to speak evil of it. Some false teachers will do that. Some false teachers think the Word of God is something that they can use to exploit people. We talked about that Sunday morning. But we see the end of the false teachers in verse 12. Peter says, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. They're going to die, the false teachers, someday, just like an animal. Without any hope for eternity, the only thing they have to look forward to is the wrath and judgment of God. And we may think, you know, these people are racking up millions of dollars from misleading and deceiving and lying to other people. Millions of dollars are flowing into these people's organizations, their so-called ministry. And we see that they're getting rich. They have these nice houses, these two or three cars, Rolls Royce and all that type of thing, and huge bank accounts. And we say, man, I tell you what, these liars, these fakes, these false teachers, these phonies are getting away with a lot of things. But rest assured that they have not escaped the eye of our righteous and holy God. He will deal with the false teachers in the future. There's no doubt and no question about that. That is a guarantee from the Word of God that the false teachers are not going to get away with what they're doing. Peter says in verse 13, and he says in verse 13, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness. J.B. Phillips translates the reward of unrighteousness as, their wickedness has earned them an evil end, and they will be paid in full. It reminded me of that verse in Romans, for the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. They will receive, these false teachers will receive the reward of unrighteousness in a future time. And Peter also says in verse 13 that they count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. And they think nothing of carrying on their sinful activities in the light of day. And they are unrestrained in carrying out their wicked activities. And there's something else we have to understand, too, about these false teachers. It's not only their false teaching that that we must be aware of. It's their moral character also that Peter is addressing here. We have to understand that these people are putting on a facade. They're phonies. They're fakes. They look like good, wonderful, religious type people. But in their own lives, they are morally corrupt and depraved and wicked. And we have heard of preachers, you know, over the years on TV who have misled and deceived a lot of people. I would call them false teachers. And they've fallen out of favor with the people because of something they did in their personal lives. They committed adultery or fornication or something like that, and people found out about it and quit sending them money. That was the only thing that would bring their ministry down, you see. So we have to understand that Peter is also talking about the moral character of these wicked, evil people. It's not only their teachings that we have to be aware of, it's their character also. And he says in verse 13, Peter says, spots they are and blemishes. Compared to true Christians, they stand out as something that repels people. You know, when our Savior looks at us, and he looks at us through the eyes of, through God looks at us through the eyes and through the prism of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He sees us as clean and white and righteous in his own eyes. When God sees the false teachers, he sees something that's ugly and despicable. They are spots and blemishes. Dirt in the sight of God. And we see also in verse 13, another interesting fact in verse 13, sporting themselves with their own deceivings. And notice what Peter says at the end of the verse. He says, while they feast with you. Now this is a reference to these false teachers being present at the Lord's Supper. And you say, now wait a minute, how can these false teachers come into a church and fellowship with us at Lord's Supper? Now, I'm not saying this happens at Northgate Chapel. But I'm saying is that the false teachers want to infiltrate local churches. They speak our language. They talk about saved. They talk about being born again. They talk about the Lord. They put on this religious facade. And pretty soon we accept them into their fellowship, thinking that they are true believers in our Lord Jesus Christ. And they want to be seen as one of us, you know. And what better way to introduce their wicked teachings is to get into through the back door of a local church, secretly bringing in their wickedness. And Peter addresses that in verse 1. He says, there shall be false teachers among you who privily, that is secretly, shall bring in damnable heresies. And we talked about that Sunday morning. And we see that in verse 1 also, that there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you. That's you is us, brother, sister in Christ. We can be, you know, we can be deceived. We can be fooled. You know, we can accept people into our fellowship that we think are genuine. You know, we go through an evaluation process, and we're very careful in how we talk to people and try to use spiritual discernment and understanding in weeding out the people who are false and the believers who true believers in our Lord and Savior. See, we have to be very careful about that. We have to understand what the characteristics are of these false teachers, because they will deceive us. They can't deceive our God, but they will deceive us if we're not careful. And we see also in verse 14, the last verse that we'll consider tonight, some more characteristics of the false teachers. They have eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin. Another rendering is they have eyes full of harlotry and insatiable for sin. And you know, these false teachers, they pose as religious leaders. They counsel people. They minister to people. They are always on the lookout to exploit people to gratify their own desires. That's what they want to do. That's their goal. They don't have the restraint of the Spirit of God inside them. So they are totally and completely unrestrained in their wickedness. And Peter also says in verse 14 that they're beguiling unstable souls. They will mislead people. They will deceive people. They will exploit people in order to further their evil teachings. And the people that they deceive and exploit are spiritually unstable that Peter mentions here. That's why one of the checks against false teaching is that you and I, and I mentioned this Sunday morning, you and I as the people of God, we must know the Scriptures. We must be familiar with and have a deep knowledge and understanding at least of the basic doctrines of the Christian faith. Brother, sister, if we don't, we'll be deceived. We'll be misled. And I believe that everyone here tonight has at least a good knowledge of the Word of God. There are unstable, spiritually unstable people out there who may or may not be saved, and the false teachers will go right to them. They will lead them astray, they will deceive them, and they will mislead them. And Peter also says in verse 14, another characteristic, is they have a heart exercised with covetous practices. That word exercise there is interesting. In the Greek, that's where we get our English word gymnasium from. In exercise there. Gymnasium, of course, is something where athletic activities or athletic events are going on. And athletes before a game or in preparation for a game, they exercise, they warm up, they practice. They train themselves to be a good basketball player or a good football player or a good tennis player or a good golfer. It takes exercise. It takes training. It takes practice. The false teachers have trained themselves in being greedy and covetous. That's what they like. They like money. We talked about that Sunday morning. They like money and wealth. They're greedy. They're covetous. And as soon as we see people who are not only teaching things that are untrue and unbiblical from the Word of God, and they put so much emphasis on money, 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 we know that they're false teachers. We have to understand that, be aware of that, you see. And finally, in verse 14, Peter says they are cursed children. Cursed children. In spite of their religious facade, these charlatans they're under the curse and judgment of God. And that's something that we can count on in this case. And we may say, you know, I look at the world and you look at the world too, and we say, you know, things are looks like things are kind of getting out of control, and the wrong people are in the wrong place, and people are being lied to. They're being deceived in the spiritual realm, and all these things are these bad and horrible and terrible things are happening in the world. And we say, well, you know, what in the world's going on? But, you know, we have to understand something, brother and sisters in Christ, that God is still on the throne. God is still in control. He is in control of our lives. And rest assured, the events of this world are in the palm of His righteous hand. That's something that we can count on. And if we see false teachers gaining an advantage, if we see someone who's teaching something that's unbiblical or an out-and-out lie from the Scriptures, and we think that they're getting away with it, rest assured, they are not. They are not. They are under the wrath and condemnation of a righteous and holy God. He will deal with the false teachers in His own time, in His own way. It takes vigilance on our part. We must be aware of what's going on in the world. We must be aware of what's being taught in our pulpits, from the platform. We must be careful what we listen to on the radio, what we watch on TV. We must evaluate everything that we hear and see through this prism here, the Word of God. We must do that. And we must be aware, and we must be vigilant. And I hope that we are. We'll pick it up again next time in verse 11, or verse 15. And now I believe Michael has prayer requests.